This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes, it was an honor to have the new commissioner of the ACC join us in the first hour. And as we pointed out, you know, there's a lot of folks in the Atlantic Coast Conference that don't know a lot about Jim Phillips, but they're going to. And I think that when you see this interview that we had, which is about 15 to 20 minutes long, it'll give it a better appreciation of what he's all about and why it just seems like a natural fit for the ACC moving forward.
Thank you, guys. Mark and Wes, I really appreciate it. This is a dream opportunity for my family and I, and I can't thank you enough and the ACC family enough for welcoming us. The board of directors, Chancellor Siverud, who ran the search, and the 14 other chancellors and presidents, it was an honor to spend the last several weeks with them in different forms of meetings. And then yesterday, I really had a wonderful conversation with Commissioner Swofford, who has been the gold standard of commissioners to me across the country. 32 conferences, 5 Power 5 conferences, and John's been right at the top. And he leaves a legacy, 40 years of commitment to ACC, 25 as the commissioner. Those are huge shoes to fill. But my wife, Laura, and I and our 5 kids can't wait to get to the ACC.
In a word or two, what was this process like for you? Because you have got an amazing journey in athletic administration. I mean, from undergrad at Illinois to restricted earnings basketball coach to associate. I mean, you've got this amazing journey. So what was this process like for you to kind of take this? And I don't want to call it a leap of faith because your resume is as good as anybody in athletic administration and an AD chair in this country. But what was this journey like for you, Jim?
It's emotional. It's intense. It's exciting. I think you run the whole gamut. And for any of us that have gone through a process of which you know a little bit about it and maybe the position, and then you start to dig into it and then you have contact and you start to really think about it and honestly say some prayers to guide you the right way. But it was really professionally done by Turnkey Search. Again, the chancellors and presidents couldn't have been more gracious. And it ended in just an unbelievable place for my family and I, and can't tell you how humbled and honored we are about what's about to happen and to be able to join the ACC family.
Jim, I've been told, and I'm not going to give my sources out, but I've been told in almost every meeting that you've had at Northwestern, one of the things that you like to utter is a better destination. And I'm going to tease you now a little bit. Tell me, what is a better destination when you think of the future for the ACC?
I think it's all encompassing. It is about a better destination. As excited and maybe prideful as we are right now, there's more things to be done, right? There's more care for those student athletes. We're at a time in our society where I think it's really important for us to continue to listen to them. And so we want to continue to support them in ways that they need. We have social justice issues. We have the name, image, and likeness. We have some of those issues that we have to get clarity on. But at the end of the day, it's about providing them that world-class experience academically that every student athlete in the ACC graduates from one of the 15 most premier institutions in the country, that socially they have a chance to grow in the things that they want to do. We really believe that, I think, in our country about giving back to those less fortunate. And so having them have an opportunity to do that and to listen to them. And then athletically, the ACC doesn't stand second fiddle to anyone in any of these categories, including winning and competing for championships. This is as good of a conference as there is. And so we want to continue to do that. And I think the final thing is, you know, the collegiate model is certainly under siege right now. There's a very important, this is a very important time for us to make sure that we don't lose what the collegiate model has been like. Besides the GI Bill, there's not a group in the country that has benefited more from aid than student athletes have. We're over $3.2 billion that we provide nearly 500 student athletes across the country. That's worth saving. This is amateur sports to some people, not amateur sports. But this is different than professional sports. So I think we have to find whatever place that looks like and give student athletes the choice.
Jim, it's interesting. The student athlete plays such a big role. In the last 13 years, you have been the athletic director of a private institution and a huge land-grant conference by any measure that features major metropolitan markets. You're in a major metropolitan market, one of the top 10 media markets in the country. You come to a conference that has more major metropolitan markets in its footprint than any other league in the country, that also has private schools and large public institutions. How much congruency is there from what you've known the last 13 years and really growing up in Chicago most of your life to what you're getting ready to invest in by leading the ACC?
Yeah, I think just the experience of being in the SEC and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, being at Notre Dame. Listen, you know, initially the ACC was founded with 8 schools in the 50s, right? And 2 have decided to leave. We added Georgia Tech in the 70s and Florida State in the 90s, and then 7 schools in from, you know, early 2000s on. And so now our footprint is much broader. And so we have to make sure that all 15 institutions are fully integrated into the conference. And you're right, publics and privates, the best of the best, more rural settings and urban settings. And those are challenges. You know, as you indicated, here in Chicago, being at Northwestern, this is a pro city, not unlike Boston and Pittsburgh and Miami and a lot of those types of examples we have in the ACC. And so for us to be able to have that congruence, as you described, is going to be really important. But yesterday I had a chance to call all the presidents and ADs. I connected with most of them. And I think the underlining tone is there is great collaboration. There's great synergy amongst the schools, and everybody's looking forward to even a brighter future.
Jim, do you get a sense that given the Northwestern years and what the Big Ten's been through, like everybody else during the pandemic, that there's a lot of similarities with the Big Ten and how you operate and the ACC, or is it too early to make that call?
I don't know. Until you get into an organization and into a conference, you don't quite know. So you're looking at it from maybe a different lens. I just think the ACC represents what's right in college sports. Again, these incredible institutions based on academics, research one institutions, medical centers attached to the institutions, and then competition at the highest level. And I'm just going to say, the ACC doesn't play second fiddle to any conference in the country. And I think that's something that's going to be important for us to make sure that we understand, and we're going to do everything we can to back those words up. And we're going to make sure that we continue to keep our eye on those student athletes and the experiences that they're having across 15 campuses.
Well, you said yesterday you touched base with CEOs and ADs. I'm going to guess that most of those ADs were already in your phone. I mean, you've got quite a track record with some of these guys in this league. You know a bunch of the guys who are already sitting in chairs. And in fact, Mark and I were talking about earlier, I think that's one of the tremendous positives about your arrival is your experience with your peer group who are athletic directors in this league.
Yeah, they're amazing, all of them. And, you know, I really enjoyed a bunch of the conversations and too many to mention, you know, but the men and women in this conference have been, you know, I think champions for the ACC. And, you know, over the course of a 25 or 30 year college athletic administration journey that I've been on, you cross paths with these incredible administrators, incredible leaders. And this is a wonderful group. That was, you know, there's many things that attract you to the ACC conference, but the leadership of those 15 athletic directors certainly is near the top of that list.
All right. You know, doing some homework on you back in the summer before you came on the off-campus radio show on SiriusXM, because I've heard a lot of great things. Dave Repson is a buddy of mine on the Big Ten Networks, and the Northwestern alum said, Pac, you're going to love this Jim Phillips. So we talked about a bunch of stuff. So I did some homework on you now, Kamish, not knowing that you were going to be the future commissioner of the ACC. And, you know, I go through the whole Rockne Heritage Fund when you're at Notre Dame and what you built with the Ryan Fieldhouse and the Walter Athletics Facility and the relationship that you've got with Kevin White. We've had Dr. White on our radio show before this turned into TV. But what I really want to know, with all the things that you have built, all the capital fundraising campaigns, the one thing that jumped off the page about you was that you weren't tied in to the Kevin White radio show in Chicago with the sponsorships. And I want to know what that entailed and where that falls and all the things that you've accomplished in your illustrious career.
Is that still going? I thought that got trumped by you two guys.
No, let me tell you something. You know how this works now. You know this better than anything. Nothing gets done until something gets sold. And if you're in charge of sponsorships, you will be able to answer that question right now. So how did that work out?
Yeah, that was really fun. That really was. And what it allowed was a chance to tell the story a little bit. Nobody does it better than you two guys. And I think within the college athletics world, it's important because I think there's some misconceptions about what really happens on a campus or what really happens in an athletic department. So that was a fun time in our career. And Kevin was a great boss, underpaid me like he always did, you know, when I worked for him. He's one of a couple really important role models, mentors, people that you really aspire to be like. He's the best in the business. So it'd be great to get reunited with him and the rest of the ACC family.
All right. You mentioned the emotion through this process. If I'm gathering correctly, did you grow up in Portage Park in Chicago? Did I hear that right? Is that the area you grew up in? I mean,
that
you
is.
Go to school at Illinois in Champaign, grew up in Chicago. You've already made a lot of declarations in your life. I mean, you chose the Cubs over the White Sox, I'm guessing, although I'm guessing as an AD, you walk a fine line in Chicagoland. So if I'm guessing right, we probably can help you with barbecue and you help us with pizza next time we go to Chicago. Is that basically the way this works?
Portillo's. It's a trade-off.
Portillo's.
If you don't bring some Italian wet beef down here to the Carolinas, I'm going to come hunt you down, Kamish. I'm just telling you right now. We will work a barbecue Italian beef trade on this one.
That's a deal. I'm bringing Portillo's and Lou Malnati's pizza. Okay.
Lou Malnati's.
And I can't wait for the barbecue. I can't wait for the sweet tea. I mean, there's an awful lot of things I can't wait for. So I got to keep the sweet tea away from my kids. That's all.
Well, no, listen, all five of them, they'll be bouncing off the walls by the time we take care of you down south here. By the way, do you think that the fact that you went to the same high school as Mike Krzyzewski really put you over the top in this search? Do you think that's part of the deal?
It's so funny because I got to know from Chris Collins, who's our basketball coach here at Northwestern, great player at Duke and longtime assistant for Mike at, in Durham. And he sent a text, he said, how in the world did lowly Weber Catholic High School in the city of Chicago produce arguably one of the best coaches in any sport and the new ACC commissioner? That's so random, but there is a path there. And I am excited to see Mike and work with Mike a little bit more and our other tremendous coaches. But Weber High School meant a lot to Mike, and I know Weber High School meant a lot to Jim Phillips.
And one more thing, too, because folks are going to get a chance to know you and your personality and what you stand for. And I think, again, your association with all student-athletes, it's always been a connection that you've taken a great deal of pride in. I think that'll happen again as you make this transition. But when you look back, being on the bench with Bill Frieder, I know we kind of kid around about the whole coaching thing. There had to be a point, though, in your life that you said, hey, listen, I love basketball. I love being tied into this as a coach. But being a coach or being an administrator, those are two different paths. Do you now look back on this crazy journey, kind of how we started the conversation, and look back at the moment where you said, hey, you know what? Yeah, I love being a coach. But you know what? This could make sense for me.
You said it perfectly. Listen, I'm proud of where I grew up. I was one of the youngest of 10 children. I'm a first generation four-year college student. I went to college, obviously fell in love with this opportunity of marrying academics and athletics, thought that potentially coaching would be something that I like to do because besides my parents, coaches and teachers had the most influence on me in my life. And, you know, my academic journey of an undergraduate degree, a master's and a PhD really sent me in the direction of administration. And I felt like, you know, you could make an impact on 15 kids on a basketball program. And then I thought, well, wow, you know, you get into administration and now you have 400, 500, 600 student athletes. And really the question pierces my heart because it was one of the reasons why I wanted to take this job and why I was so excited and humbled by the opportunity to take this job is you go now from potentially helping 500 student athletes here at Northwestern in one institution to now 9,000 incredible student athletes and 15 institutions. And really, the hope would be that the ACC continues to lead nationally. And so now you're talking about several hundred thousand student athletes. And so I can't tell either of you guys that this thing was a straight line, that I went to college and knew I wanted to be the ACC commissioner. But you put your faith out there and you do good work. You try to do good work each and every day. And you just kind of go down the road and things come together. And it's not about what you plan. I think it's about, you know, what others sometimes plan for you. So I'm just so exuberant about this opportunity because I just know how much the ACC means to the institutions that represent the ACC. But I know what the ACC means in college athletics, and it's about doing good for others. That's what it comes down to. And for us, these 9,000 incredible student athletes.
Jim, being the youngest 10 growing up, has that paid dividends for you being in this kind of profession? I know that sounds like a crazy question, but when you're the youngest of 10, I mean, you got to fight, man. You got to get after it. Nobody's going to hand you anything. But do you think that's probably helped you in this crazy journey getting to the ACC commissioner's gig?
Mark, absolutely. There's no question in my mind. There's absolutely no question. It's about collaboration. It's about sometimes you lead. Sometimes you have to relent. Sometimes, you know, you have to try to bring people together that have differing views. I mean, it was always a race at the table, you know, who was going to get the first crack at whatever, you know, my mom had prepared. But it really is. It's about working together, being part of a team, something bigger than yourself. You really hit on something that's deep, again, in my soul as it relates to just leadership and being part of a something that's, again, larger than any individual. So I do. I wish my parents were still alive to see kind of this journey. But I know they're looking down on Laura and I and our family, and I know they each have a smile on their face.
Well, I suspect, and this will be the last thing I've got for you, I suspect that this interview probably is not going to be as high as hooking up when you had Laura and the kids and hooking up with Pope Francis, but we hope to have you back many, many more times on the show, and we again welcome you to the ACC.
You got it, guys. I really look forward to seeing you. Hey. When you can come out of your basement, because I know neither one of you have privileges to leave the space you're in, but I really do. I can't wait to see you.
Just slide the Portillo's right underneath the door. We know you made an appearance. That's how we'll know you're here.
Hey, Jim, real quick, how does Saturday work now? You got this new job and the game's at 4, and needless to say, one of the great programs and really one of the real models of today's college athletics is what you've built with Pat Fitzgerald and your football program. And you guys play Ohio State. I guess that game's at noon. Is that right? So you got a noon game with Ohio State and this new thing that starts in February that's kind of a big deal. In fact, it might be the biggest game the league's ever played at 4. So is this like you got two screens working? How do you envision this?
No, this will be in person in Indianapolis. And then immediately to the biggest screen TV, if they kick me out of Lucas Oil Stadium, then I'm going back to the hotel to make sure I have a great seat for two unbelievable teams and programs. Yeah. They're going to fight it out. But I'm excited about the opportunity as well, you know, for all four teams that you just described, both in the Big Ten and the ACC. Should be a fun day of football on Saturday.
Tell Pat good luck. He's one of the good people in sports, as you well know, and always rooting for him.
Mark and Wes, I will. Appreciate you guys very much. Keep up the great work. Go ACC.
New commissioner of the ACC takes over in February, and we appreciate his time. I'm sure it'll be the first of many appearances on Packer and Durham. So we look forward to Jim and Laura and the kids making that transition, and wish them the best. And again, I think it's a home run hire. I think it's a natural fit, and we look forward to working with them.
Absolutely right. When we come back, we go to the penultimate accounting and the results from wide receiver U are in. All that and more coming up next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday, 844-SAY-ACCN. It is time, Wes, for us to unveil our accounting as we go into championship week, Notre Dame and Clemson. And you've got 15. I've got, of course, 16. So, again, fans can partake.
Yeah.
Again, hashtag Packer Durham. Tomorrow we'll announce a lucky listener or listeners that we deem worthy. And so you can partake with this. And, again, we've got 15 teams in the league. You know how it works. If you haven't figured it out by now, really can't help you. But let it rip. So tag, you're it, Wes. You're first.
All right. I put these down. And remember yesterday when Eric revealed our first accounting on Monday, I talked about the levels, the three tiers.
Yeah.
Well, 1 through 5 is pretty easy. 6 through 10 is the new glob. And then there's 11 through 15. Notre Dame, Clemson, North Carolina, Miami, NC State's that front line, if you will. Then it goes Pitt, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Boston College in some form or fashion. Some of you may have like number 10, 6, and number 6, 10, 7 to 9, 8 to whatever. It's a mess in the middle. And then the back end, a little bit of clarity is developed there. Louisville, Georgia Tech, Florida State, Syracuse, and Duke is 11 through 15. And that's my accounting comments. Questions, Mr. Packer?
No, I think we kind of jumped on this yesterday that the top five are pretty simple and in the order. I would assume that everybody would agree with 1 through 5 in the exact same order. Yep. I think 6 through 10 is your scratch your head moment. And the teams 11 through 15 have been there for months, it seems like. And there will be some movement just based on accounting games that we kind of had over the weekend that you knew there would have to be some movement. So with that said, I give you my 16. 1 through 5, spot on. Ain't no problem there. Notre Dame, Clemson, North Carolina, Miami, NC State, 1 through 5. Here is what I did, 6 through 10. And I'll give you to it. The Swiss, Wake, is 6. Pitt, 7. Virginia Tech, 8. Boston College, what happened to 9? 9 disappeared somewhere, but you know what I'm talking about. 9 would be Virginia. 10 would be BC. I don't know what happened to poor Virginia. Man, they lose one game. They lose the cup. They lose their spot on the rankings. But 11 through 15, Florida State moves up because they won. The only reason I got Duke 14 in front of Syracuse 15 is because they beat them. And the Sweet 16 this week is a Florida Gator shoe toss. Yeah, Gator Nation. Congrats. We'll give the SEC love on the show.
No,
here it goes.
Run it.
A football move, according to Dan Mullen. You catch the shoe, you throw it down the field, and here comes a flag in 15 yards as you get ready to watch your college football playoff hopes go up in smoke or the fog because you let LSU, a team with 54 scholarship dudes, a 24-point dog, come in there and beat you with a 57-yarder in the dagger. Ooh, right there. But nevertheless, Florida Gator shoe toss is 16th. But let me explain my 6 through 10. The reason I've got Wake coming off a loss, the Swiss, here's what I did.
Swiss. Yeah.
I took the glob, right? The Swiss, Pitt, Boston College, Virginia, Virginia Tech. Now, they're all kind of interchangeable. But here's what I did. I added up their rankings and their marks against each other. So I'll let them break the tie. So I did a little analytics from 6 through 10. The Swiss are 2-0 in that group. They've got the best record, so they went to the 6th spot. And you go right down the list. So that's how I figured 6 through 10. But it's a mess. I mean, they're really, you know, all I know is, you know, Coach Fu's got the cup. That's all I know. So he's going to have to be in front of Virginia. So however you do it.
Well done.
I'm just telling you. That's how that works. So there you go. There you go. Real quick.
You mentioned the basketball at the front end of the show. One of the things you wanted to talk about, how many teams do you have ranked, Pac, right?
Yes, this is an interesting little stat.
ACC's got 11 now, right?
Yeah, we got six ACC teams.
Six in the top 25.
In hoops. Five in football. So I combined both the AP top 25 in football and the AP top 25 in hoops. And just to give you a handle on where we are, big picture, and the ACC and the Big Ten both have 11 schools, right? In the AP top 25 in football and basketball. The Big 12 has 8. The SEC has 6. And the startling number is at the bottom. The Pac-12 has 1 team only. And that would be the USC Trojans at 15 in the AP poll. That is it. They've got nothing in hoops and 1 team in football. So that's where you stand as we speak in the AP rankings. Of course, tonight, the college football playoff rankings will be unveiled as well. So just throw that out there, a little bar bet for you, impress your friends. That's what that's all about.
You see the little nod on the screen. Alan Griffin standing by. He'll join us next from Central New York. The Syracuse shooting star, an orange celebrating an ACC win over Boston College as they get ready to resume their schedule. Quick reminder to you that tonight, following our ACC basketball doubleheader, right around 10:30 or so, get ready for In Play tonight. Kelsey Riggs and EJ Manuel again for a half hour. Should Notre Dame be favored against how many ACC hoops teams should be ranked? Is that orange or apple? Anyway, Thaddeus Mixon from Disney's new movie Safety also stops by. In Play, 10:30 tonight, following Florida State and Georgia Tech, right here on ACC Network and always streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, Illinois transfer helping light it up for the orange. Alan Griffin joins us. He's next on Packer and Durham here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Been a fun show. And we're not done yet. We still have some surprises in store for you before we get out of here at 10 a.m. sharp. Our next guest, Wes, makes his debut on the program. He's made his debut in the ACC and already making some noise. And we're going to go up to New York State where Alan Griffin from the Cuse, the Orange, they're rocking and rolling. Alan, first of all, good morning. Welcome to the program and welcome to the ACC as well. You have made a splash making that transfer from Illinois. Now, life's been pretty good.
Yeah, really good.
I was kidding around with you before we brought you on that I was watching your game Saturday, and I made a vow that if you got up 50 on BC, I was turning off the television. If you got up 50, I'm done. I'm not going to watch a game where somebody's up by 50 points. That was a great team effort. When you guys are making threes and that zone's causing problems, that was a good – I mean, hey, you guys looked the part Saturday. That's all I'm going to say. Just flat out got it done.
Yeah, really – well, we're really coming together as a team, and that game was really much needed to get things going for us.
Yeah. Alan, when you go through a year where there's been so many kind of bumps, if you will, right? I mean, stops, starts, the whole deal, plus the transfer situation you personally went through, is just being back on the floor kind of the solace that it takes to kind of feel comfortable again?
Yeah, everyone hasn't played in a long time, obviously because of COVID, but it's fun to be out there with a new team. Feel the love here.
Yeah. Well, why Syracuse? I mean, when you decided, hey, listen, I'm going to make a move, what was it about Syracuse that you said, you know what, this is going to fit well for me?
Everything from the assistant coaches all the way to head coach Jim Boeheim, everything they said matched up with what I wanted and what the plan, everyone was just on the same page.
We see you score the ball, but there are a lot of different things it looks like you bring to the table. One, a veteran presence, there's no doubt about that. But number two, you seem to have that kind of instinctive play that fits with these other guys too. How long did that take to gel? Was that something you guys – did in the practices leading up to the season, or was it more acquired maybe a year ago when you were sitting out?
Something I was able to always do, just never got the chance to showcase it. And now I'm here at Syracuse and able to showcase my talents.
Alan, when you guys go through all the protocols during this pandemic, and it's been going on for a while, we keep emphasizing this on the show, that the amount of effort needed by every student athlete, whether we're talking about football, basketball, field hockey, soccer, whatever, the mental discipline needed, because, hey, when you're an 18 to 22-year-old, man, you're in college, you want to go have a good time. Life's supposed to be the best time of your life. But you guys have really got to be smart with what the way you handle yourself away from the court, practice, and everything else. You talked about, hey, it was just kind of a thrill to play. I would think, given everything that you guys have been through, that when it's time for go time and the lights are on, hey, it'd be cool to have 35,000 at the Dome, but even if it's empty, so be it, man. We're here to play. Can you describe the joy it is? Maybe more so, something maybe you appreciate now more than you would be in the middle of a summer where, hey, life is normal, that you can go out and shoot and play around and cut up, all that stuff. But just the pure satisfaction of being able to say, guess what? Me and my guys, we get a chance to go play basketball tonight. No matter whether you're playing somebody from the ACC or outside the conference.
Yeah, so it's always fun to be able to go out there and play basketball, especially during this time. Very grateful for it because some teams can't even play. But for us to be able to go out there as a team, have fun, enjoy the moment, and just be able to play together, and because everyone loves the game here, and when we practice and everything is just fun. You know, we had a lot of fun yesterday, one of the best practices, I feel like, and it's just fun. Everyone loves the game here, just having fun with it.
All right, well, I'm going to follow up with that. What was fun about practice? Because, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go old school Allen Iverson on you about practice. What do you mean, practice? But, you know, you do get appreciation of the little things, don't you? So what was so great about practice yesterday?
Just being able to have some laughs, you know, especially, like, during a time like this, you want to be able to enjoy everything because you never know what can happen. It could be the end of the season, who knows, next week, you know. So just to be able to have fun and be able to joke with everyone. We had a couple of jokes yesterday, and everyone was just laughing. It was fun.
It should be, right?
Alan, yeah. I want to kind of see if we can tie this together, because I know you're one of a handful of very talented shooters on the floor for Coach Boeheim. But curiosity is going to get the best of me here. If it comes down to you, Joe, Buddy, Quincy, and I might be leaving somebody out here, who do I want to take in the contest to see who can make the most?
Coach.
Oh, Coach G-Mac. Yeah, well, if we're going to put coaches in, we'll put Red in, put G-Mac in. All right. So tell me now, if it comes down to a contest and I got to have somebody take the shot, who's taking the shot?
I'm going to take the shot, you know. I'm going to take the shot. But we have a lot of great shooters on this team. It's fun, man. Like, we always debate that. We always excuse me. We always debate that in practices at the end and stuff. It's fun, you know. But if someone has to take that shot, I would say me.
Alan, was there any doubt you were going to take that shot? I mean, come on now. It's like asking the wide receiver, man, who are you going to throw to? You're throwing the ball to me. No, I'm going to take the last shot. You talk about the laughter and having to cutting up with your buddies and stuff. You know, we see Jim Boeheim from afar, and Coach has been around the block, Hall of Famer, legendary coach, national championship. What is it about Jim Boeheim that we might not know? Better sense of humor, funny guy, always serious. Take us behind the curtain a little bit about Jim Boeheim. What's one thing that we would never know about Coach?
He laughs. I don't know if you guys see that a lot, but he has a sense of humor. He laughs. Everything that you don't see, that he doesn't practice. He has his little sense of humor and he laughs. But on game days, man, he's something else. He's different. He's locked in. He's ready to go.
Last thing for me, Alan. How did we acquire Zero in this lineup? How did you choose Zero for the jersey number?
Russell Westbrook. You know, I was somebody I always looked up to, along with Jimmy Butler. But Zero is always a number I've loved.
All right, we do this as a traditional question for every student athlete. And granted, you make the transfer from Illinois, so I'm going to keep this ACC specific. Since you've got on campus up there, beautiful Syracuse, what has been the hardest class that you've had?
Hardest class? Probably, man, I can't even tell you, man. I can't even tell you.
You can't give me the heart, because there's got to be one that you go, oh, I dread this class. This class absolutely is a grinder. It's got to be one.
It was probably, I want to say my writing class. It was my writing class, writing 105.
And what was the story there? What was the why was that so difficult?
Different themes and theses to write and stuff, you know. It was a little difficult, but I still managed to pull through with it.
There you go. I know this much. You guys are writing the script in that ACC opener, because I tell you, man, we got everybody barking about certain teams, and you guys are just kind of quiet up there, laying in the weeds up there at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. So stay healthy, continue to have fun, man, and continued success.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on the show.
You got it.
You bet. Alan Griffin of Syracuse joining us. Don't forget, we got a basketball doubleheader for you tonight right here on ACC Network. We get started with the Tigers, number 24 in the country in Blacksburg against Virginia Tech. That's at 6:30 Eastern time. And then we'll send you to Tallahassee, number 15 Florida State and Georgia Tech. Open up their respective ACC calendars tonight, 6:30 and 8:30. Right here on ACC Network, men's basketball presented by Geico. All right, when we come back, we'll set the table for those two ball games. And also, we got a few other little things here, including a gift that I got yesterday for the shelf of Packer and Durham here in Cartersville. Back in a moment.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final segment on a Tuesday. National Signing Day is tomorrow in college football. A couple ACC games of note tonight, which we'll discuss briefly here. And again, you can partake with your accounting. Hashtag Packer and Durham. We'll select some tomorrow. You'll be good to go on that front. All right, Wes, what we got?
Scott Satterfield also tomorrow on the show, 9 o'clock. The Louisville head coach will join us. And don't forget, folks, tomorrow's National Signing Day. And as old coach Paul Johnson used to tell us, Pack, they all come highly recommended, right?
That's right. Nobody will have a bad day tomorrow. I promise you. Nobody.
All right. Nobody. Nobody has a bad day on signing day. Okay, wide receiver you. For the fourth time this year on this program, in this particular discipline, ladies and gentlemen, a defensive player has won the honor.
Oh.
Tony Grimes wins with this. Third different defensive player, fourth time a defender has won the award. He joins two-time winner Andrew Booth and big man touchdown specialist Aleem McNeil. You good with this one?
I thought that picking four was going to be tough. Again, this is all fan vote. This has got nothing to do with us. We just lead the parade on this one. So I thought we had a ton to pick from based on the weekend's effort. So Tony Grimes, a kid that could be very well in high school as we speak, playing with the big boys on Saturday. Good for him. Congratulations.
Yeah. I got a delivery here yesterday, Pack,
okay.
In the mail, came a gift. With a handwritten note, of course.
Like it. Handwritten notes. All pro handwritten note.
Wes, please accept this official game flag on behalf of the Atlantic Coast Conference football officials for the Packer and Durham set.
Nice.
The note goes on to say, you guys always speak the truth, don't have negative things to say about officials, and for this, I salute both of you guys.
Well,
Packer.
I was going to say, I mean, the Grimes interception for the win on WRU, if it were me, I'd have thrown the flag because I thought he interfered with him. But that's just me. But you're right. We keep it clean. I got that ACC whistle right here. Keep it right in front of me just in case I need to blow on something there. There you go. I like it. That's sweet.
The real one, too. The beanbag. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Got any grass stains
this
on it?
This comes from, yeah, a little bit. And by the way, it's been signed. Packer and Durham, right there.
Beautiful.
This comes from Angie Bartus, who was an official in the ACC for 25 years as a side judge, who watches our show and lives in Mebane, North Carolina. Angie, bless your brother. Appreciate you watching the program. Thank you for the flag.
Flag, sweet.
It's going to go right back here in front of the globe.
I like it. And I like right the and I like the stationery, too. I kind of like that.
Yeah, the little official holding his arms up.
Yes, sir.
I like that, too.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Very nice.
Excellent.
Thank you to
gift.
Angie Bartus for watching the show. Appreciate the flag. Yep. And it's good to know, Pac, you never have anything negative to say about officiating.
Hey, I'm honest with the refs. When they're good, I'll tell you. You know, because the best refereed game, whether it be football or basketball, are the ones that we don't talk, you don't even know they're there. That's when you know officials
right.
done a
yeah.
great job. And let me tell you something. I don't
that's
take
right.
any satisfaction on the radio, much less on this show, having to talk about officiating. I don't like doing it. I wish we never had to deal with it in a perfect world.
There you go.
But, you know, when you got to call something out, you call it out, good and bad. That works. Kind of like this show.
I'm with
some
you.
Some things we do are good. Sometimes we screw things up. Happens. Don't do it on purpose.
A couple of basketball games tonight. We start in Blacksburg at 6:30 tonight. Clemson and a road test with Virginia Tech, Pack.
Mm-hmm, good game.
Hokies certainly want to show better than they did last week at this time.
Right. I mean, like, it's kind of like football. What Virginia Tech team are we going to get? We're going to get the team that played Villanova and looked outstanding and, you know, zipped right up the rankings? Or are we going to get the Penn State effort where it was like, well, who are these guys? Something tells me Virginia mm-hmm. Tech will play much better than what we saw last week in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And Clemson's been one of the good stories of the year. Four wins against Power 5 teams already. We've talked about it. Beat Mississippi State and Purdue and Maryland and Alabama. The Tigers have been good and deep. So I think this is a very, very good basketball game tonight. Two good clubs.
Kevi Aluma and Amir Sims might be worth the ticket, right?
No doubt.
That'd be worth your time. Those
no
two
question.
Alone.
No yep. question about it.
So looking forward to that one tonight. Clemson's 5-0 start, by the way. Includes four wins over teams ranked in Ken Pomeroy's top 100. Tigers are second, by the way, in defensive efficiency. And they have put the clamps on some teams now. Alabama, Mississippi State, Purdue. All that stuff counts for sure.
That's not a surprise,
by the way,
Brad Brunell's background. He's always been a really good defensive coach. And they come at you in waves. They're kind of like, and I'm not saying they're Florida State, because I think Florida State right now is playing better than everybody in the league. But they can go deep on the mm-hmm. bench and with quality, you know, production and everything else. So far, so good for the Tigers. But I do expect Virginia Tech, after that clunker they had against Penn State, to play much better tonight at home.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that part. All right, the second ball game will send you to Tallahassee for the Tucker Center. Jay Alter and Dan Bonner will be standing by to deliver Florida State and Georgia Tech. Now, one thing to look for tonight, if Scotty Barnes is going to be the principal ball handler, how does that impact what Josh Pastner likes to do defensively? Because remember, you see some 1-3-1, you see some trap, you see some zone. But with Scotty Barnes at 6'9 against Jose Alvarado, that's about a half foot or more difference in size out front. How does that work for Florida State tonight, who's, you know, certainly full of full of slashers to the rim from the wing, and they'll have a huge advantage inside with Koprivica, Malik Osborne, and more. I'm interested to see the Florida State attack tonight and how Georgia Tech elects to defend the Seminoles, too.
Two things. Number one, Florida State's been untouchable at home. 26 straight wins on that front. Mm-hmm. We know about that. I know crowds are different, but, man, the Noles are the Noles in Tallahassee on the hardwood. And number two, much like Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech's kind of a mystery team. Do we get the Mercer Georgia State version, or do we get the team that took Kentucky to the woodshed and went on the road at Nebraska in the ACC Big Ten Challenge? So the Jackets back on the road. They're a team that can get hot and make threes, but Florida State's so many players, such a great wave of talent. It's kind of hard to pick against Florida State at home. I mean, that's just kind of where they are. Like I said yesterday, I think they're the safest bet right now in ACC men's basketball. Yep. If we had to say, take your best team out of the ACC to go play the Zags or Baylor or Iowa or whatever, I would pick Florida State right now out of the ACC.
Yep. No question. Noles tonight, tallest team in Power 5 basketball for sure, and one of the tallest teams in the country when you factor Scotty Barnes at 6'9", Michael Polite 6'5". You've got, I should say, Michael Polite, that's his dad, Anthony Polite at 6'5", and M.J. Walker at 6'6". So we'll see. Kind of, and then Balsa Koprivica is 7-1
and playing great
off Leonard Hamilton's bench. Who, by the way, Pack, if you've looked at the stat sheet, Florida State playing guys, not nearly as many though as they have the last couple of years. Starting with a shorter run, at least earlier in the year. I know they'd like to try and see if they can get maybe a body and a half, two more bodies off the bench as the conference play starts to open up here. So two good ball games starting at 6:30 tonight for you. Here on ACC Network. Man, what a show. Great to visit with Jim Phillips today, Tom Luganbill, Michael Carter, Alan Griffin. We had a full show today. It was a good one.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the Jim Phillips interview. And again, I'm sure there's a lot of ACC fans who were watching this morning that wanted to see what the new commissioner looked like, sounded like, thoughts, personality, and everything else. And I'll say it again. I said it yesterday. I said it again today. I think it's a perfect fit for the league moving forward, and we wish Jim and his wife, Laura, and their kids the very best in making that transition. Still some business to attend to at Northwestern. They have the Big Ten championship game coming up this week, but he'll be a great fit for the ACC.
Thanks to the newly named commissioner, Jim Phillips. Thanks to Drew, Josh, Alex, the back row in the bunkers. Another great day of Packer and Durham. See you tomorrow morning at 7.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.